You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
John!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Hot Route!
I don't. What is Hot Route?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Down! Ready, down, set, hut, 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 hut!
Hit me!
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch! Nom 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 nom!
It's time for the Soonerscoop.com postgame show presented by Eskridge Lexus in Oklahoma City. Eskridge Lexus is the official travel partner of Soonerscoop.com podcasts. Now, here's your road crew. Carrie, Eddie, and Bob, wrapping up all the action and reaction from this week's game.
All right, it is a Bedlam blowout, and we are here. Carrie Burdock, Eddie Radosovich, it's the Eskridge Lexus postgame show, where people are celebrating, Eddie, because they now get 41% off of DeadSoxy.com
software. Pretty good deal. They had to have been a little nervous, though.
When it was 21-0.
When it opens up 21-0. Even like when it was, what was it? I guess 34-14.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, 34-13 at one point. It's like, I don't know. Might go 61 or something, but it worked out. 41's not bad.
So, yeah, congratulations. You go to DeadSoxy.com, use the promo code Boomer, and you'll get 41% off of your next sock purchase. So, great time for the holidays. They're not even paying us for this podcast. I don't know why I'm helping them.
Well, after you buy the socks, you might as well go buy a Lexus as well.
Yes. You can wear the socks to go buy the... That's the promise.
That's the deal.
If you buy your 41% off socks, that you will go buy a Lexus from Ed Eskridge. Anyway, Sooners win at 41-13. And Eddie...
I mean, it's just an ass whooping.
We said it last week. Eddie, how many beers deep are you now? Are we three or four?
Looks like four. This is number four right now.
It's number four. Okay.
Number four.
I have a whiskey sitting here that I haven't touched yet because I'm
waiting. Oh, there it is.
Waiting.
I didn't even see that. You snuck that in.
That's what us alcoholics do. We sneak in liquor. But no, I mean, we said it last week, and people argued with this on the site as because they argue about everything. That, well, maybe I was the one arguing this, but I thought this game would do more to legitimize Oklahoma's offense than it would anything defensively. Not that Oklahoma State doesn't have great talent. And by the way, one thing that hasn't been mentioned tonight, and partially it's because of the pressure, partially, I mean, I don't even know if we should get into the whole Mike Gundy, what the fuck was he doing with his quarterback situation.
I mean, it's just another Mike Gundy.
It's head scratcher.
It's more about Oklahoma tonight than it is what Mike Gundy did, but it's just so perfect with everything and all the hell that he catches for his now 2-14 Bedlam record. It was just an ass whooping of epic proportion. They got ran out of the facility in the first quarter, but you still at like halftime. I DM'd you guys with the group and it was like
they get the ball coming out of halftime and it's a 2-score game.
And it's a 2-score game. They can cut it to one. And I'll be damned if the Oklahoma defense in the second half they shut them down. And I believe it was pointed out on Twitter that was the second time since the Baylor. Or it was the first time. Since the Baylor game last year that Oklahoma pitches a shutout in the second half and the way that they were able to do it, even like we can get into it, but like the stop inside of the red zone in the fourth quarter, I think that says a little bit about the pride that they have right now and what they're being able to do defensively.
I agree. And the two,
3 years ago, Kerry, they would have given up a touchdown probably on the first play when they get into the red zone.
Look, and I'm not pissed about this. It gives us something to do, which is great. I mean, I love being able to chase down information and put it on the board and keep people happy. But the COVID stuff, I have a hard time seeing how that was really ever an issue this week when essentially you missed two key players in Jaden Hazelwood And I'm always forgetting the second one. John Michael Terry. Jaden Davis was hurt. DJ Graham, great game today.
We'll get into
You don't want to get hurt if you're a corner.
He might get some accolades in this thing. I thought he was excellent.
But Jaden Davis, we heard, kind of injured. Justin Broyles was on crutches.
He was.
Laron Stokes just has not come back from injury yet.
Which was weird, because I thought if there was anybody that was coming back this week, it was going to be somebody like a Laron Stokes.
And Austin Stogner didn't quite return.
Which is surprising. And, you know, I guess just throw it out there. It's like, we'd heard stuff throughout the week, and it's Bedlam week. It's like, usually there is shit out there that's kind of weird.
But you always know it's going to be, yeah, it's just like we talked a lot about Orange Power this week.
Orange Factor,
whatever.
Rest in peace.
Just bringing shit to the table constantly about Joe Mixon's got a broken kneecap or something.
Yeah.
So it's like someone's always stirring up shit during Bedlam week. And
sure,
we're on our toes. And I thought Brett McMurphy was stirring up shit. I didn't really try, and not that I don't think he's credible. It's just when it's Bedlam, and he uncharacteristically for a national reporter takes shots at OU every once in a while. Because he's OSU graduate. Yeah. I think he thinks he's having some fun. It's probably kind of funny for people that aren't, affiliated with OU.
Sure, and it was weird, and I had heard that, something was going on during the middle of the week, but you just didn't know. And then, before the game, we're doing the, like, what has become the most 2020 thing of all time is just, like, sitting there and fucking waiting to see who's coming out of the locker room for warm-ups. And, like, it's like, okay, he's here? Like, and Buki's working out?
And I'm at home, like, as the slave driver, like, what about this guy? What about this? Did you get this
it's
guy?
Like, each guy that comes out, you have to, like, mark off a list, basically. And
it
by
was
the,
like, today, the way it worked out, we marked off running backs awfully fast.
Yeah, because they're easy to get.
Offensive line awfully fast.
They're easy to get through. Defensive line's easy to get through. It's the skill guys, because they, it's just there's more of them. I think that's probably what it is.
Yeah, I mean, and they're smaller, and they're faster, and they're harder to keep track of. Like,
sure.
Like today, the only thing that was confusing is, Deshaun White? Or, no, it was Aguayu?
Benito.
It was Nick Benito.
Because he wasn't wearing the, like...
He wasn't wearing his jersey.
If you haven't got to the game before, they get out there, and they wear basically these T-shirts, and they have their number on them, so it's really easy to tell. And, I mean, obviously, people will know who Spencer Rattler is or Ronnie Perkins or whoever those guys
Austin
are.
Austin Stogner's hard to miss.
You know, there's some guys that, let's be honest, like some of the freshmen, it's hard to identify just because you haven't seen them. We haven't seen them in forever.
Since they were in high school, mostly.
Yeah. No,
and you don't talk to those guys because they're off limits to the media.
No doubt.
So, yeah, I mean, you're trying to track all that stuff. You're trying to figure out, basically, who don't you see out of a sea of people?
Sure.
And so you go through position by position, and this was probably the most intense. And as we're doing it, I'm like, this isn't really that bad. Like, there's not that many people missing.
That's the thing.
Not that many key people missing.
Full disclosure, when I saw Ronnie Perkins, Perrion Winfrey,
Isaiah Thomas,
It was almost like all right, well, what really was the situation this week? And, I'll be damned, like, Lincoln Riley admitted it after the game, which I was kind of surprised that he even got into it, as far as they were worried. And Gary, you had said on, what was that, Thursday night, that they were fairly concerned about testing coming back on Friday, and I just don't know.
Yeah, they just didn't need it to go bad.
I don't know how much of that was, are they really worried about, like, positive tests coming back, or the thing that's been killing college football, and that's the contact tracing.
Yeah. And OU has kind of gotten around that a little bit by making their players wear masks when they're indoors in their homes.
Well, and then when you hear the stuff about, like, oh, the defensive line's been hit really hard this week, like, the first thing that popped into my mind was what I texted you guys. Ronnie Perkins and Nick Benito wore masks their entire interview session, and that hasn't happened.
Nobody has ever done that.
That hasn't happened a whole lot this year. So that
made us kind of the panic set in, like, oh, shit, this could really be bad for the defensive line, which was the strength going into this game.
No doubt.
And as you said, it all turned out everybody except for John Michael Terry was there.
So, and as it turns out, it probably doesn't matter because, well, I guess it would have mattered if the defensive line was out, but, I mean, that was a dominant performance.
And, you know, it was a really good performance by Spencer Rattler.
He was solid.
Ramondre Stevenson, it took a while, but he became pretty much the reason that they were able to pull away and salt the game away. I mean, a 99-yard drive, another one of those weird Mike Gundy decisions where he punts it on the 39-yard line of OU's.
I'm telling you, man, the
down by 21.
The venom for Mike Gundy and his job status will be at a full force.
That's going to be terrible
this week. And maybe, I mean, I walked out of there tonight thinking that might have been the last time we saw Mike Gundy coach against Oklahoma. Maybe.
It's just so weird. I mean, because, like, you see Penn State and how bad they're struggling. Michigan is struggling. Like, clearly COVID has screwed up some programs. And it looked like COVID was screwing up Oklahoma's program.
Sure.
The way things started.
But the one program that really hasn't been affected.
Nebraska's was bad before, so maybe it didn't count.
The one program that hasn't been affected by COVID has been Oklahoma State, though, right?
Yeah. Well, by the... Yeah, it's been more social injustice that's rocked Oklahoma
State.
Sure.
I mean, and they obviously got some problems, but tonight was about Oklahoma, and it was a very impressive performance.
Let me throw this out. And I don't want to make this too OSU centric, but it's just that there's so many questions that I have.
Well, I think in like a sick, demented way, Oklahoma fans like this. Like this was a perfect performance for Oklahoma because when you can kick somebody while they're down, and especially a school like Oklahoma State, go do it.
Here's the thing. It turned around Spencer Rattler's season getting benched for a couple of series.
Sure. Yeah, Bob wrote about it on Thursday.
That's not what Mike Gundy did tonight.
Or today, excuse me.
Mike Gundy may have just ruined a young quarterback's confidence tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he
screwed a guy over.
I thought he had a concussion.
Well, if he did have a concussion, then he's completely irresponsible and probably, what's the word I'm looking for? Negligent?
I mean, Ronnie Perkins was just, he was out there to eat people in the first quarter.
And I tweeted about this. I didn't think that was a dirty play. It was just the momentum.
No, he threw him.
It was such a fierce tackle.
It's kind of impressive that, I mean,
Spencer Sanders got up and tried to talk shit after that.
He did get up and talk shit, and he got it in Ronnie Perkins' face, and Ronnie Perkins basically pointed him in the eye, or poked him in the eye. Like, there was some...
And then he could barely walk to the sideline.
It was strange. I don't think there's any other way to say it. Like, that entire, from the moment that game kicked off, and the way that Oklahoma was able to take the opening drive down, just right down the field into the wind... Which I guess really wasn't that big of a deal.
The first two drives were just like nothing.
But it was like they, I mean, that was Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray-esque as far as we're going to just. And
it was Lincoln Riley, vintage play caller.
The 45-yarder on the second play of the game to Ramondre Stevenson was just, I mean, it was perfect. I thought the stuff that they did with Mikey Henderson was unbelievable. Like, how many times did they just attack the corner? Like those little rollouts with Ramondre or Mikey. It was
they're undersized. I mean, it was a 13, played hard, and he actually delivered a little bit of a blow to Ramondre
Stevenson. Over there on the front of the OSU bench.
Right, uh-huh.
That was the first time that I've seen Ramondre Stevenson like
go backwards.
And he didn't get knocked down or anything, but that was impressive.
It hurt the OSU guy a lot more than hurt Ramondre.
No, I bet.
But, I mean, they were undersized, and they just, Lincoln Riley just attacked the outside of that defense all night long, and, you know, they had some busts that you don't like seeing, like the Theo Weiss touchdown was just a bust. They just let him run, and he didn't have any help over the top, and the safety tried to get over there, but it was too late. And, I mean, look, no Austin Stogner. But I thought it was kind of ceremonial, almost reassuring probably for Spencer Rattler that he hit Braden Willis on a 15-yard pass to get him inside the 10-yard line.
I had to think that a lot of that, too, because that was on the first drive of the game. I had to think that some of that was, we're going to get you out there immediately, and you're going to have some type of impact on the game early.
But, I mean, Mikey Henderson was a huge factor tonight. Jeremiah Hall, a huge factor.
I mean, the H-back room is just, it's unbelievable.
It's insane.
They arguably didn't have their best player out there today, and they were the best unit on the field.
Yeah. The most effective, the ones that did the most damage.
It's unbelievable.
So, I mean, I thought Lincoln Riley was great as a play caller. He attacked them the first two series. Like, they scored so, that was kind of the thing. They scored so quickly in the first half or the first drive. You knew Lincoln Riley was like, well, shit, I got 10 more plays that are going to kill him. I haven't even run yet.
Yeah.
And then he runs him on the second drive. Boom. David Agwebu tips it to himself, basically. Not really, but he makes an incredible play. It was fortunate that they upheld the call because I think it could have gone either way. But you know what? It was close enough. They didn't overturn it. And then you go in, boom, it's 21-0. And then Shane Illingworth was just unsettled all night, which you would have expected.
I mean, I would be too if I was a true freshman behind that offensive line and had Ronnie Perkins, Perrion Winfrey, and Isaiah Thomas breathing
Nick
down
Benito.
My neck. Nick Benito. It's fourth time in school history that OU scored 21 points in the first quarter against Oklahoma State. First time since 1988. 68 and 79 were the other two times. Or the other three times, I guess. 88, 68, 79, 2020.
Huh. Someone's saying that Ramondre Stevenson? I don't know.
What?
Someone's bitching about something I said on the radio early that I didn't say. Because they weren't. They're probably drunk and not listening.
Probably not.
So anyway, I mean, this game for Oklahoma, now they are in the driver's seat.
Well, it's just unbelievable that, and I think Alex Grinch said it after the game, they're playing meaningful football in November. And to say that I thought that that was going to be the case after they dropped to 1-2 after the game in Ames, I'd be lying. I'd be lying if I thought that they would be back in this position. And somehow, some way, they have. And
Herb Street said this during the game. That
I heard him and Boogie probably going to have a really nice relationship after this, too.
He was not impressed with Buki.
What'd he say, though?
He said he thought that this is the best Oklahoma, most complete Oklahoma team that Lincoln Riley's had.
It is. 100%. I mean, defensively, you can officially say it. They are very, very good.
Would they win against Georgia in the Rose Bowl?
This defense?
This team.
This team wouldn't.
They don't have Baker.
They don't have Kyler.
No, Rose Bowl.
I know. Kyler should have been starting that game. different conversation for another day.
Wow, you've really added to the conspiracy theories.
Different conversation for another day. But no, like, most complete.
What he's really saying is this team has an actual defense.
Yeah, and I mean, this offense isn't anywhere close because, you know, as well as Lincoln Riley called the game tonight, there's going to be a lot of people, especially on the message boards, and I think I probably agree with them, that second and third quarter was very blah. And I tweeted this during the game, but Oklahoma scores 41 points against Oklahoma State defense that a lot of people thought was, you know, probably the best defense that Mike Gundy has maybe even ever had.
I mean, maybe the best defense OSU has ever had. I'm sure Pat Jones will take offense with that, just like he does with my Ramondre Stevenson takes. But
at the same time, it's like 41 points. They scored 41 points tonight. Tied the most that OSU's given up all year. Like,
OU averaged 7.2 yards per play tonight.
That's shocking. That really is shocking. Because second and third quarter, I thought OU was very abysmal offensively. And I think that kind of just paints the picture that not only has Oklahoma been spoiled rotten with what they've been able to do offensively, but at the same time, it's like they're starting to play really well. And Spencer Rattler played really well tonight. I mean, credit to him. I thought he would come in and turn the ball over at least once or twice. And he didn't even really get close to turning the ball over tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he did throw that one pass to Marvin Mims that was just like,
oh, that's right.
Shot
that's
down
right.
The middle of the field.
That's right.
And there was another play where Marvin Mims had to knock the ball away.
Yeah, down in the south end zone.
Which, you know, I don't blame the guy for trying to force the ball to Marvin Mims.
No. I mean,
I like seeing that every once in a while.
He has the number one play on SportsCenter tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, that grab
the college game day final.
Oh, it was the college game day final?
Right, yeah.
That was an unbelievable grab.
And the offense was humming at that point, so like you didn't even really get time to savor that play. It was just like they were moving on because they were going.
Yeah, that was an unbelievable grab. It's one of the better grabs I've seen down there.
Let me throw out a few things defensively. Two leading tacklers tonight: Woody Washington and Brian Asamoah, both with 8.
That's surprising, Brian Asamoah, huh?
Yeah, sacks on the night. Ronnie Perkins, your leader, which you probably would have expected with 2.0.
Sure.
Nick Benito, 1.5. Isaiah Thomas only credited for half a sack tonight. He did get the grounding penalty, which was big.
Well, I think you said it earlier, Kerry. Oklahoma was all over the quarterback so often tonight, it felt like the OU sideline was wanting a grounding call on like every other throw almost.
Well, I think Spencer Sanders and Shane Illingworth both had grounding penalties. There might have been 3, but I can only remember 2.
I mean, they were just under siege. They couldn't block them up front. It's as simple as that. Couldn't block them.
And, I mean, like you said, when you have Nick Bonino, Isaiah Thomas, and Ronnie Perkins out there, and Perrin Winfrey really didn't do a whole lot tonight, but, you know, he does take, you know, he takes up double teams. He helps people on the outside. The linebackers played really well. David Aguebu had another good night. Brian Asamoah, you know, obviously led the team in tackles, so he had a good night.
I'll tell you what, man. David Aguebu, he's starting to come on. I know that Josh was really complimentary of him in the report card from tonight, but he made a couple plays. I mean, the interception, which I thought kind of hit the ground, but maybe not. That's an unbelievably athletic play. You know who I was talking to Kaden McFarland before the game, and you know he was obviously he from Tulsa and covers Zaven Collins up at Tulsa.
Mm-hmm.
David Aguebu has a little bit of that in him, doesn't he?
Just that like, it factor.
Well, and just a big bodied guy that can move.
Yeah. Well, you know it's kind of one of those things. It's like he came in, and I remember Neville Gallimore talking about this when he was here, like how freak he was. Mm-hmm. Like they were just like, we can't believe what a freak this kid is.
I thought he made a couple plays tonight though that like even Kenneth Murray wasn't making.
He's got some of that Ronnell Lewis country strength.
Like, I can see that.
He is, when he goes up against a running back, they stop dead in their tracks.
I could see that. I think him and
he's not country.
I think him and Brian Asamoah look pretty good together.
Ronnell was very country.
And that's not digging at Deshaun White either.
No, and Deshaun White did some good things tonight. I mean, they've got 3 really good linebackers.
They have a good defense. OU has a good defense, which is insane to say. They were 114th in the country in total defense 3 years ago. Two years ago.
Let's get into, is it an Olds take that Buki should never play again, or... do you just kind of, you get enough good that you can live with it?
I would say he played well tonight. I did think he had a good game tonight.
He had another ridiculously stupid play on Dylan Stoner.
But I told somebody up on the photo deck, it's like he's one of those kids that you knew in high school that isn't necessarily a bad guy by any means, but every time somebody gets in trouble... he just happens to be around it. Like every time that and your parents are like, you probably don't need to be hanging out with that kid.
Yeah.
But it's not really his fault, but it is his fault because he's guilty by association. Like all he did was point his finger at Dylan Stoner.
But he had to know not the ref told
but
him.
He just
said, get
kept
off of
fucking running his mouth. It's like,
I know.
Shut up. Like, somebody needs to get over there.
You should have seen Roy Manning's facial expression on the sideline.
It's just...
when he came over there. Because...
It's like Buki, just... I want you to do so well, but you're not helping the cause.
He just has such a long history that it's driving the Olds crazy.
I know.
Start with the sledgehammer. and just work your way on to Dylan Stoner tonight.
I just don't get it, man. And like, my dad is one of those guys too that like he just hates him. And it's like, he played well, and I get it why people are upset. Like, that shit cannot happen in a Big 12 championship game or even next week.
It's just one of those things. Like, I do believe, like, if the coaches thought that there was someone where they could bench him and they would be fine, they would. But I just think nickel is one of those spots they don't have the depth with, like they want to have. They have it at corner. They're getting it at safety. They don't have it at nickel.
I'll put up the video, but like I had the entire play, and then I centered in on Buki on the finger taunt or whatever, and it's just like, just all he had to do was run away.
And I mean,
it, like, just run back to the
like,
line
of
scrimmage.
It's like you say, you know, there's always stuff happening around him. It's just like every penalty on the defense tonight was killer. Like,
yeah.
OSU couldn't do anything on offense.
I think
and the defensive penalties, Trey Brown, my God, I felt so, I mean, I feel bad, but then you're also frustrated.
Well, that the pass interference call on the east sidelines was awful.
With Tylan Wallace?
Yes, that was an awful call. Yeah,
it was sketchy. Yeah, because that ball was never going to be caught. Even if he ran a route on air.
I don't think he touched him. They were literally, like, it wasn't as bad as the Purdue pass interference last night.
Yeah.
But it was close.
I mean, he was zigging and zagging so much, he was never going to get that far downfield.
It was just
another, and there was Trey Brown. I mean, my God, it's like
it. Oh, I know where you're going. It's like the guys that keep continually making mistakes, and people have harped on this on the board.
And Pat Fields isn't one of them right now either.
He did have the pass interference on the final what they ended up getting on the goal line stand there in the fourth quarter. Wasn't that called on Pat Fields? I thought it was.
Yes, it was, because I remember the expression on his face. Yeah. And that was a bullshit call.
Well, I mean, any type of pass interference call in the Big 12 is going to be bullshit. I don't think that anybody knows what it is.
I was surprised that Trey Brown was able to defend Jelani Woods two passes into the end zone, those fades in the corner, both times, and didn't get called for pass interference. But they were great plays by him.
Yeah, no, he had great position on the ball. He knocked the ball down on the second one.
But you notice that people leave Woody Washington alone?
Tell you what, man.
We're not going to f*** with that guy.
I told you when I walked in here tonight, their two best cornerbacks might be Woody Washington and DJ Graham, who DJ Graham's kind of the star of the night, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, I asked
Or like
Alex
one
Grinch
C
about him
star of the night, I guess.
But I mean, he's big, he's long, there was one play that was an overthrow where he was a little out of position, but other than that, he was great.
Jelani Woods had one reception for 12 yards tonight.
And he is their he could have been their Charlie Kolar.
Tylan Wallace had four receptions.
They did a great job on him.
68 yards.
I mean, they got a lot of penalties defending him, but they did a great job on him.
At one point, I think that Oklahoma had committed more penalties to give OSU a first down
than
OSU had actually earned a first down.
I believe it. I mean, they had like 27 yards or something in the second quarter. And they scored like 9 points or something.
Yeah, it was an ass whooping. That was the most complete game that Oklahoma's played this year for sure.
But like, even Buki, you know, the very next play goes for a touchdown. It's like everything that you touch turns to shit. And it's not really his fault, because I don't think the ball was even to his side of the field.
No, it wasn't. The guy was wide open, though. I don't know what
he
happened
was
there.
Wide open,
but. The strangest thing out of everything tonight was the fact that at halftime you felt like OSU should be really happy about where they are.
It's because of the Kansas State game. It's because of the Iowa State game. It's
there's definitely some PTSD there.
Yeah, you've played and as we said going in, they've looked impressive against TCU, Texas Tech, and Kansas, but this isn't TCU, Texas Tech, and Kansas.
No, and I think that we talked about that on the U40 this week, just as far as. Like, what? So is this team like really coming together? Are they really playing that well, or is it something about the competition? And I mean, I walk out of tonight think that Oklahoma is really playing really good football right now.
They are. I mean, they're a good football team. Iowa State's a good football team.
Which has to be a little frustrating, too, though, because you go back to that Kansas State game, and if they're just able to hang on to it.
God, that's just embarrassing to think that they lost to Kansas State.
Like,
and yes, they had a better quarterback then, but still, you lost to Kansas State, and they're not good.
I've always been somebody here over the last couple of weeks that has kind of shit on the idea that OU would have beat Kansas State if they would have had Ronnie Perkins and Ramondre Stevenson. I'm closer than ever to thinking they probably would have won at least one of those games.
They would have won if they had Ramondre Stevenson, because he would have, when they were struggling offensively and Spencer Rattler was all rattled. No, I'm not trying to make a pun there. He would have been able to control the game.
And Spencer Rattler's, I mean, he's a completely different player than he was in September.
Yes.
I mean, there's just no doubt
and
about
that.
And
I mean, we've said this before, too. Like, even, you know, that TCU game when TJ Pledger kind of started to come out of his shell, and it was the end of the Texas game, like, he would be a better running back against Kansas State than he was then.
Sure. There's no doubt about it. And I
by the way, did Seth McGowan play at all tonight?
I don't think so. You know why?
Why? Because they were playing Ramondre Stevenson.
Well, yes. But even when Seth McGowan would get some carries, they were giving the ball to Mikey Henderson.
Yeah, that's true.
Mikey Good Henderson, point. I mean, I am fascinated with what they're going to do with him over the next couple years, because they can move him all over the field. I mean, he does everything.
I mean, I saw from the first time he ran the ball, I was like, he's different. There's something that, like, he has more wiggled in his hips than guys like Dimitri Flowers and Trey Miller.
I mean, he hits the hole better than some of the running backs that they have.
Yeah.
Like, Seth McGowan.
And he has some
will
heft to him. Not like TJ Pledger. Like, you see him every once in a while, he just gets killed.
Yeah.
If somebody has filled the hole that he's running into, he has no chance.
There's a couple times that he can maybe make a spin move, but yeah, like, he's not a.
And the other thing is, I don't think people know how tough a runner Ramondre Stevenson was tonight, even in the first half. Like, I'm telling you, that OSU defensive line is good.
Yeah,
they are good. And they were able to penetrate. They were able to, I mean, Trace Ford, just, I mean, he's a fantastic player. We don't have to tell Sooner Scoopers that, but
it's just unfortunate. He could be playing on the Oklahoma defensive line.
I remember us all being at summer camp watching him going, how are they not going to?
And the crazy thing is,
I mean, and you remember that was a time when, like, the only end rushers that they had of note were Oboe and Eric Stryker.
Yeah.
It was like a desert of pass rushers in the program.
He's a great athlete, too. And I think that's the thing that, like, people forget, or maybe people don't know, he had a grand slam walk-off home run in the state championship game. Like, he's a hell of a baseball player.
Yeah.
For Santa Fe.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate. I'm still bitter
about that. He played his ass off tonight.
He's a good football player.
He could play anywhere in the country.
Yeah. No, he could. It's unfortunate. You know, with the new transfer rules, maybe they can get him and Dax Hill next year.
Maybe Proctor will want to come back, too.
Which I think Dax Hill had a game-sealing touchdown.
He had
the game-sealing interception in the third overtime tonight against Rutgers. Congratulations to the Michigan Wolverines beating Rutgers tonight in three overtimes.
Garrett Wilson had a day today for Ohio State.
Did he?
Yeah.
I have no idea how that game ended up the way that it did.
They just snuck up on him. It was crazy. It was a 7-point game.
I think Indiana's a good football team.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, Indiana beat the shit out of OSU. Team I saw tonight.
Oh, the Oklahoma State Cowboys?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That's what. Look, the rankings are going to come out this week. I think there might be a surprise or two. I don't know. We talked about this already during the unofficial 40. I don't know what you do with Oklahoma. I don't know that they're in the top 10, but I want to know.
I don't know if they
get the benefit of the doubt a little bit, if there's some kind of COVID bump that you get in there.
Shit, if we're going to give people COVID bumps, you might as well give somebody a suspension bump. Because, like, if Ronnie Perkins, like, if we're going to take into account if guys aren't playing, you know, for whatever reason.
By the way, did you cringe like I did when Spencer Sanders took off to run that first touchdown in?
A Rattler?
Rattler, what did I say? Spencer
yeah.
Sanders.
Rattler, No, I didn't know that he could do that, though.
There's a Marvin Mims catch. We're just catching up on SportsCenter right now. There's your boy, Mikey Henderson. Touchdown.
I mean, what a dude. It's just unbelievable that, not unbelievable, I guess, but it just, you know, talking to some Oklahoma State buddies today, it's like, that was the moment that they kind of had as far as not making this season a failure, and it 100% is now. I mean, for Oklahoma State fans, I would have to think it is, isn't it? This is a team that had one of the better defenses that they've had in Stillwater in a while. An offense that you thought was going to be pretty good, and it just kind of all gone to shit.
But the thing that's just so bizarre is that the story of the game becomes not OSU, you know, not making plays or playing up to their potential. The story of the game is clearly decision-making of the head coach, Mike Gundy. And the oddities that were there.
I mean, yes and no. I mean, I think that at the same time, though, they just got so blindsided by the way that Oklahoma started the game. I mean, you dig yourself a 21-0 hole early in a game that, you know, historically, you can say whatever you want about the, you know, does that play effect into it, but you dig yourself a 21-0 hole against a team that you've lost to now 90 times.
Mike Gundy, they're showing it right now. The worst winning percentage versus a single opponent, a winning percentage of 125 versus OU matches Jackie Sherrill as A&M against LSU, and I don't even know what the last one was.
I mean, I believe it. 2-14 now. 2-14. That's awful. It's really
bad.
But
it's kind of it's kind of along with historical.
No, it is, but at the same time, there's been years where
it's better than historical.
Oklahoma State's been a better football team. OU's been able to find a way. Like, 2013 is probably the most stereotypical bedlam game of all time.
By the way, probably a bad idea to wear the same uniforms as the Tyreek Hill punt return. All the magic has gone out of those uniforms.
Is that what the same ones?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they definitely didn't work tonight.
No luck left in those uniforms. No. So, I mean, OU now moves on, takes on West Virginia, then Baylor.
I don't want to shit on a good party, but OU better be ready to play next week. Yeah. I think that's going to be a tough game. I think it's going to be a really,
really
tough
good.
Game.
I mean, and they're at home. Are they letting people in the stadium?
Yeah, I don't think that it's a whole lot, though. I mean, I think it's like everybody else right now.
I thought maybe they had
shut it down
completely.
Coming off of a bye week as well.
Oh, it's going to be a race to the finish. I mean, I think they'll win out. I think they'll play Iowa State again.
Big game in Austin on Friday.
Yeah. I don't think Texas
Huge
can beat
game
Iowa
in
State,
Austin.
Though.
Am I an asshole if I'm kind of cheering for him, too? I'd love to see an OU Texas Big 12 championship.
Yeah, I would, too.
I think that'd be fun.
I will probably root for Texas to win that game in my deepest down. Like, some of those are the kind of games you don't know until it starts.
Yeah.
Like, you say to yourself, like, could I really root for this team to win? And then you have to wait for the game to start and find out how many times you get pissed off. Like, you'll find out pretty quick. If you get pissed off when Sam Ehlinger makes a big touchdown pass,
I would never do that.
You'd be like, well,
I'd never do that against a Horns Up for Peace committee member.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just, the theory still stands. It's kind of like watching like Nebraska versus, trying to think of an old enemy.
Nebraska?
Like, if Nebraska played USC in a meaningful game, you'd probably root for Nebraska. It's because USC's history.
I might have
but
to
I
be
can never root for Notre Dame.
I might have to be revived to know that Nebraska's actually playing in a bowl game again.
I know.
I can't be by Illinois today.
I couldn't root for Clemson or for Notre Dame to beat Clemson. I just can't root for Notre Dame under any circumstance.
See, I'm Catholic, so I have an out there. Yeah, I guess. Maybe not.
Rudy doesn't destroy it for you?
No, even though he's an asshole in real life, supposedly.
Here, watch this play. There's the snap I was telling you about earlier. Kentucky snapped it out to the 50-yard line
Come
today.
On, Kentucky, what are you doing? What are you doing? Oh, it was only 7-3 at that point, too?
Yeah, mm-hmm. This game got out of hand.
Imagine that. It was a good performance, though, for Oklahoma. They are starting to play really well. And, you know, DJ Graham was like kind of out of nowhere. That was like out of nowhere today.
Is it a good thing that you don't really notice Delarian Turner yell? Or should you be noticing him more as a safety? Like in the run game or?
Maybe a little bit.
I mean, the run game didn't suffer tonight at all. I mean, the run defense.
No.
They were great.
OU.
L.D. Brown didn't do anything. Chuba was clearly hurt.
I mean, is he hurt?
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, OSU's official Twitter account, like, Tylan Wallace, 100%. Chuba Hubbard, 100%. Oklahoma State's healthy and ready to go. And then Holly Rowe, very first thing, like, OSU coach just told me that Chuba Hubbard has suffered an ankle injury this week in practice. They did show the replay. His ankle got really turned.
Tonight?
Yeah.
Okay, because
it was one of those where he got tackled from the side and his ankle went up underneath him and it bent all weird. And then he was out for a while. And he tried to come back, but he still couldn't do it.
I mean, OU held OSU to 2.8 yards a carry. They just and
they never broke anything really.
How about the 3rd-and-7 draw that OSU ran?
On the
to Chuba on the east side. Inside of the red zone, I believe on one of their OU held them to a field goal early, I believe.
I guess that one just doesn't strike me. I don't remember it.
It just was so Mike Gundy, though. You're running I guess maybe that's Casey Dunn. I don't know.
It's a problem. By the way, I want to remind you guys, Eskridge Lexus, the official title sponsor, official travel partner of Soonerscoop.com. You know, they got the December to remember going on, but you know what? If you listen to the Sooner Scoop podcast, you don't need to remember anything. Just tell them, hey, I'm a scooper. Go in there and say, yeah, listen to the pod on Sooner Scoop. I'm a subscriber to the website. I want to look at a new Lexus, and they'll give you a great deal. So go check them out, EskridgeLexus.com. Great leasing offers right now. A lot of the new 2021s coming out and in the lot. We've already taken some. Bob tried to crash one. Well, he didn't. He just got a flat tire. And I've taken one to Ames, the ES350, I believe, with all-wheel drive, the first one to have that. I've driven a Lexus for over a decade. Just great, great cars. And at Eskridge, those guys do a great job with customer service, great service department, keeps those cars. I mean, I've been over 200,000 in one. I mean, they're fantastic. They're no-worry cars. Great luxury cars to drive around in. And you know what? You haven't been taking vacations, all that stuff. COVID going on. You got a little money saved up. Go get you a new luxury car. It'll make you happy. By the way, real quick, let's do this before we wrap it up today.
Eskridge Lexus is all about embracing the best. That's why they are the official travel partner of the Soonerscoop.com podcasts. So it's time for us to recognize the Sooners best with our Eskridge Lexus Player of the Game.
All right, I think this is kind of a tough one. Maybe not. I don't know. You want to do offense and defense?
Yeah, let's do both.
Offense is, I mean, it's Ramondre Stevenson, right? Or you want to go?
I could make an argument for Spencer Rattler. Just because of the way that he played. I thought
calm,
this was
cool, collected.
Yes, I think that's probably the best way to say it, because I thought that this was a game going into it, and I said on pregame today, it's like, I thought Oklahoma State was going to be able to put a little bit of pressure on him, and I was interested to see how he kind of, not necessarily handled it, but reacted to it maybe. Just, was he going to freak out? Was he going to turn the ball over early?
And he had some lulls, too, where he didn't start pressing.
Especially in the second in the second quarter, I thought. But he was able to push through it. And, you know, as it turns out, his numbers were great today. He made a lot of really good decisions. I thought early, I guess more so on those first two drives. I thought he was very deliberate in how he was putting the ball out.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was
sure of himself.
For sure. And I thought that he was maybe a little bit better than I thought he was going to be.
And
I
guess that's a weird thing. The one thing that was impressive about him tonight is he did get pressured. I mean, more so than he has in a very long time.
And you know what? He stepped up in the pocket and made plays.
He was the best in the pocket while the pocket was collapsing that he's been since he's been at OU.
17-24, 301, 4 touchdowns, and then obviously the first touchdown that he ran in.
I'm going to go with Rhamondre Stevenson.
That's fair.
I hope people kind of go back and watch that game and realize, oh, he wasn't blocking particularly well early in the game, and they have a really good defensive line. There were a lot of runs that most running backs would have been tackled for a 4-yard loss, and he would fight to get back to the line of scrimmage. And he didn't have a lot of big runs. It was all chipping away. Mm-hmm. But when Mike Gundy punted it and it got down to the 1-yard line, that 99-yard drive, he was the biggest part of that.
Oh, I thought
the 30-yard run right from the one.
Even the run that he had, I guess the first play of the fourth quarter. It felt like towards the end of the third quarter, OU was starting to kind of maybe get guys tired up front, maybe run them down a little bit. And then, because I remember, I think Josh even said it. It's like, it feels like they're about to pop one.
Yeah.
And then the first play out of the fourth quarter, they pop it, and the rest is history. He just
chipped away at that defense.
No doubt. What did he end up with? 149? 139?
Rhamondre Stevenson on the night. I know he had over 20 carries.
Because he had almost 80 in the fourth quarter alone.
He had 26 carries, 141 yards.
41.
5.4-yard average.
Gosh. And that's just...
against a hell of a defense.
You know, it's funny. Like, you said earlier that they averaged almost 7 yards a carry, or 7 yards a play. Was it 6.5? What was it per play?
7.2
per play. OSU
averaged 3.6.
5-something per rush for Rhamondre. And again, it's like you put up 41 points and you just are kind of left wanting more. And I think that, I guess maybe that's just the standard of what Oklahoma's had over the last couple years. But at the same time, a very, very impressive performance. And I think that is the number one thing that, you know, I kind of thought throughout the week was the fact that I still think Oklahoma State can play some defense. Like, I'm not going to sit here and shit on them.
No.
Like, I still think that's a good defensive group.
But they've got problems on offense.
And oh, they got huge problems.
You know how football goes.
They got huge problems.
That defense will continue to get more and more frustrated as the offense struggles. And then eventually the defense kind of takes a step back. By the way, defense... Eskridge Lexus player of the game, we don't need to fight. It's Ronnie Perkins.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote it in the roundtable on Friday. Enjoy the next two games that you know for sure, possible Big 12 championship, and then whatever bowl game they go to, because that's probably all you're going to see of Ronnie Perkins in an Oklahoma uniform.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And it sucks. Like, I did think it was kind of interesting what Lincoln said after the game about Rhamondre. Did you catch that?
No.
About Stevenson being a very young back that has a lot to learn.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Is that kind of a maybe?
See, he's like,
please, pretty please, come back
in
21.
He's not only doing a press conference, he's doing a sales job.
Yeah. I think I know the answer to that it's not going to happen, but... Like, if I was Rhamondre Stevenson and Ronnie Perkins, there's no way that I would be coming back to OU just because of the way that I was treated by the NCAA. And, you know, I guess we should mention, too, that Trajan Bridges still getting f***ed over by the NCAA.
And he burnt some bridges with the NCAA. I don't know if he burned any bridges, but he definitely went scorched earth.
Yeah. And, I mean, if everything that he is saying is true, and I have no reason to think that he's lying, but it is a little weird. I don't know. I wish I knew what was going on.
My only thought process is he's taken drug tests here, but maybe when he sends him to the NCAA, they don't come back positive, but they come back like not clean. You know what I'm saying?
Inconclusive?
Yeah, inconclusive. Or potentially like, what is it, when your sample is...
diluted?
Not diluted. Yeah, I mean something like
I know too much about drug tests, I think.
Inconclusive.
I don't know what could be the holdup here. It's just weird.
He's flat out was talking about drug tests.
Oh yeah. Like there's
that can't be anything else.
There's no doubt about that now. Like that's out there. It's just very strange.
It's unfortunate. I feel bad for him and his family. I mean, we know their family.
I feel terrible for him. I saw somebody that like posted on the board, I think yesterday, and they're like, I'm so frustrated by this situation. I was like, imagine how Trajan feels. Like this, it's just bullshit.
Jack and his mom, yeah.
Yeah, it's just bullshit. And prediction. I bet he plays next week.
But if he failed another test or had an inconclusive test, he's got to wait 2 weeks. Like Ronnie did.
Oh, so that would be... See, I was kind of almost thinking maybe this was the second week of a failed drug test because he was so close last week, I thought. I don't know.
Who knows? It's almost not worth your time to try
No, it really isn't. It's like he's going to be there when he gets there. And the Hazelwood thing was interesting this weekend. Like, I assume it's COVID.
I got to think it's COVID.
I mean, that would be terrible if he was hurt again. And I don't think he is.
No, I don't either. But that's got to be a gut buster. Work that hard to get back and get COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt about
Hopefully that's all it was.
And you would think if it was.
That's as close as you'll get to me being a COVID idiot right there.
Yeah. OSU all got it in June and hasn't worked out for them, has it?
All right. I think that's going to do it for the Eskridge Lexus postgame podcast. I appreciate Eddie sticking around as usual. We let Bob have the night off. He's been working hard. He's got family stuff, kid, all that stuff. Josh, we're pretty sure he was drunk by the fourth quarter. The way he was tweeting.
I hope he was.
I would be too. He's been moving. You know, probably just nice to put the kids to bed and be left alone. Probably a lot of crying involved with moving. Not being able to find princess dresses and
it's
stuff
the
like
worst.
That.
It's the worst.
Josh loves his princess dresses. All right, that's going to do it for us. We will see you guys back for the unofficial 40 this week. And don't forget, deadsoxy.com, because the Sooner scored 41 points, you get 41% off your next sock order from deadsoxy.com. Just enter the promo code Boomer. So cool little promotion that we've been doing with them. And that's going to go for several more days. So if you're listening to this now, check the website and we'll tell you, check our social media, we'll tell you exactly when that's running out. So thanks to Eskridge Lexus at Eskridge, all the fine people over there. Thanks to Bob for working so hard today. Go to Soonerscoop.com to see his latest work, all the stories from tonight's win. Congratulations, Sooners fans. You won another Bedlam. You control your own destiny. West Virginia, Baylor, the only ones that stand in the way to make it to Arlington to possibly win your sixth straight Big 12 championship. That's going to do it for the Eskridge Lexus postgame podcast. We'll see you guys back again Wednesday for the unofficial 40 right here on Soonerscoop.com.